Welcome to the Gathering Podcast, a ministry of First United Methodist Church in downtown Bentonville, Arkansas. My name is Ken Weatherford, the Director of Worship Arts here at the church, and as always, it's great to be with you. We hope you enjoy this week's episode of our weekly sermon podcast and ask that you would do us a favor and please share this with your friends and family on Facebook or Twitter. You can find us at www.fumcbentonville.org or by searching FUMC Gathering Podcast on iTunes.
The resurrection of Jesus, according to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat upon it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised." And the angel said, "Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has been raised from the dead. And indeed, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell the disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." The gift of Scripture for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The dawn was breaking, the day peeling back the darkness as the troubled women trudged towards the tomb. They had spent the night before preparing the herbs and oils that they would use as the last gift they gave Jesus. They had spent 3 years caring for and providing for Jesus. Today, they would offer the last loving gift. As they walked, they were burdened down with the urns that held the oil and the herbs. They were burdened down with grief and despair, their eyes fixed forward on their feet. They didn't notice that the air was alive with potential and possibility. The air was electric. You could almost smell the electricity, the resurrection in the air. But they trudged on. As they arrived at the tomb, it was still dark, just becoming light enough to see. Something was wrong. Something wasn't quite right. Had the stone, yes, the stone had been moved. Who would desecrate the grave? They dropped their urns and they raced forward and they ran into the tomb. And they were crushed with utter despair. The one last gift they had to offer had been stolen from them. The body of Jesus was gone. And then in a flash without thunder, lightning without sound, the angel was there. "What are you doing looking for the living amongst the dead? He is not here. Do not be afraid. Rejoice." And the women went forward, but they were afraid. They were filled with wonder. Could this be true? But they were still afraid. And then, like a flash of lightning without the thunder, Jesus was right there. And he said the word, "Cairo. Cairo. Do not be afraid." 16% of the time in the New Testament, the word Cairo is translated as greeting. The rest, 84% of the time, it says rejoice. I think Matthew offered us that word. Jesus saying, rejoice. The angels told you, do not be afraid. And yet here you are, still filled with fear. Can't you smell the resurrection in the air? And they dove to their knees, bowed down, grabbed his feet, and worshiped him, praised him, thanked him. Now they were becoming filled with joy. And Jesus reached down and lifted them up. And they experienced resurrection. Resurrection from a life of fear. Resurrection from a life controlled by the anxiety and pain of the world. To the unlimited potential and possibilities offered in a life with Christ. The women basically burst down the door. The disciples were just blown back. And they started saying, everything Jesus said was true. Everything Jesus said was true. And it took several minutes for the disciples to get the women to slow down. Peter was the first to catch their drift. And like a flash of lightning, he bolted through the door and was gone. He'd totally forgotten his fear of being arrested. And when he arrived at the tomb, it was exactly as the women had said. The stone was rolled away. He walked forward, looked in. And there were the burial garments, neatly folded on the concrete slab. The fear was replaced with a dawning sense of wonder. He had not quite tasted resurrection yet, but that would come later that evening. And later that evening, the door was still locked because the wonder was there, but it had not cast out the fear. Resurrection had not yet arrived in a meaningful way in their lives. And then like a flash of lightning, Jesus was there, standing right amidst the two disciples that had met him on the road to Emmaus. And suddenly everything those boys said was perfectly clear in the eyes of the disciples. Yet the fear was still there. In fact, it's a good thing they were young, because if they'd have been a little bit older, Jesus would have had to have resurrected quite a few of them. As it was, he reached down, picked them up, and said, why are you still afraid? Didn't I tell you all of this would happen? Then he sniffed the air. He said, do I smell boiled fish, fresh bread? I'm hungry. I haven't eaten in 3 days. Let's eat. Peter went and got a plate, and they sat down, reclined. Peter said, Jesus, what are we going to do now? Jesus reached out his hand, said, Peter, will you follow me? Let's go resurrect the world. A German man named Dietrich Bonhoeffer knew all about resurrection. He had experienced Jesus in a powerful way and had been resurrected from a way of life that was centered in the world to a way of life that was centered completely and utterly on Christ. He had escaped the Hitler regime, the Nazi regime, early in the war in the late 30s, he could see what was happening to the Christian church. He could see that the Christian church was following the way of Hitler in many cases instead of standing up to Hitler. And he knew that those who stood up would be killed. And he was able to escape. And in New York City, he, like the disciples who had come before him, experienced resurrection. Somehow, some way, he heard Christ whisper, I need you to return to Germany. Dietrich told his friends he was going back to Germany. And they said, no, you can't. You'll be killed. But he did. He returned. And he led the Christian resistance movement in Germany until he himself was arrested. And he did become a martyr. But prior to his arrest, he published one of the most powerful and important books ever written about the resurrection of lives. It's a book called The Cost of Discipleship. Very aptly named, because we were raised, we were resurrected at a great cost. In this book, Dietrich talks about the resurrection of a life, the process of living life in the world to a life resurrected and living completely and utterly focused on God. And he says this is a difficult process because in order to trust Jesus, we need to follow Jesus. But the only way we can possibly follow Jesus is to trust Jesus. Another way to say it is, in order to experience resurrection, we have to follow Jesus. But the only way we can possibly follow Jesus is to experience resurrection. Oh Lord, what do we do? And Jesus whispers, it has always been this way. When I called my first disciples, they did not know me. I extended my hand and said, will you follow me? And they had a choice. The same choice all my disciples have always had to make. Are you ready to leave the world and enter into unbounded, unlimited potential and possibility, abundant life with me? The first time I heard that invitation, I was 14 years old. Though I did not know it was Jesus speaking, I thought it was my grandma Tilly. Grandma asked me, Eric, what are you going to be when you grow up? What are you going to do when you go to college? Well, I was 14. I hadn't even thought about college. I was thinking about the 66 Mustang that Grandpa had just sold me for $400 that had 180,000 miles on it when the odometer broke and was completely, utterly rusted out, but I thought it was a piece of art. That's all I was thinking about. And she said, really, Eric, what do you want to be? And I said, Grandma, I want to be rich, as all smart aleck 14-year-olds tend to say. And Grandma said, Eric, I think you'd make a wonderful pastor. The first invitation, completely and utterly ignored by my 14-year-old self. Now, if I had been raised in the South and I knew the subtleties of Southern vernacular, I would have said something like, oh, Grandma, bless your heart. But as it is, I was born in Chicago. And we knew nothing about subtlety in Chicago. And I bluntly said, Grandma, I was thinking stockbroker. I believe she probably just shook her head at me. And over the ensuing decades, now that I look back, 30 years of ignoring that invitation, I can see clearly where the invitation was offered. And I can see clearly how I denied it. But today, I can tell you accepting that invitation is the greatest joy there is. A life centered on Christ in everything we think and do and say, or at least trying to. Throughout the day, trying to focus everything in what we think and do and say. And it doesn't have to be in ministry because we are all called to ministry. As the video offered, we can do beautiful work. Resurrected. As Christians, fully alive in the workplace, anywhere we go. And today, here, we sit in a town that's being resurrected. A community that people who have lived here for many years probably can't even begin to recognize. Their 14-year-old selves would have said, no, that would never happen. As my 14-year-old self, if you saw me today, would be aghast. But here I am. Practically thumping a Bible. Now, I'm not on a street corner, but I'm pretty close to one. Thumping a Bible on a street corner is about the most terrifying thing I could ever imagine for myself. But I have to tell you, it's the greatest feeling in the world. It feels like resurrection. A gift we are all offered today. In a church alive with the Holy Spirit, a church being transformed by Christ into a mission station, the spiritual heart of Bentonville for teaching disciples to go out and touch the lives of those who are far from home or feel far from God. And as many of you know, there are many people here who are far from home, having left family far behind to come here. We're being called to touch those lives. And there are many people in our community that have no idea how awesome it is to experience the resurrection life in communion with Christ. Today, Jesus is spreading out his hand, offering it to all of us, saying, stop staring at your shoes. Lift up your eyes. Rise up. Come with me. Let's go resurrect the world.
Thanks again for joining us on the Gathering Podcast. If you're in the Northwest Arkansas area, come and join us for worship at First United Methodist Church in downtown Bentonville. We have services at 8:30, 8:45, 9:45, and 11 o'clock each Sunday morning. Grace and peace, y'all.